You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Good evening, welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for Friday, the 7th of June, 2019. Thank you all for tuning in. On tonight's program, we're going to be looking at an article that was written for the Scottish Sun. I was initially going to do a program on, and I still may get to that, but we'll kind of see how things go. We are going to be looking at Islam and claims made by the Scottish Sun and also the Times in the UK that basically basic Christian beliefs about the Quran are seen as unusual or Islamophobic. And this article is not actually new. It's from last April, so it's about 6 weeks ago now, whenever this came out. I didn't see much about it, and I suppose, look, I don't know if the Free Church of Scotland continuing who are being accused of this. The article was written initially, it looks like, in the Times, called "Christian Sect Claims Quran is Satanic Lie from a False Religion." Which is like, Christian Church believes the denial of the Trinity and denial of Jesus Christ is not Christian and is contrary to the truth. It's kind of amazing that they would even publish this, but this is kind of modern day UK. That was in the Times, and then the Scottish Sun. Brother in the Lord sent this on to me just a few minutes before I started. I was going to be looking at Andy Stanley and Jeff Durbin's debate. May still get to it, may get to have some comment on it, but we'll see how things go, because I kind of just want to look at this one. I was going to do it for a vlog, but we'll look at this article. Scottish Church, it says in the Scottish Sun, and this is from April the 16th last. Scottish Church blasted by MSP Ansar Sarwar after slamming Quran as a satanic lie and branding Islam as false. Now, if I didn't even know how this is a headline. It's kind of astonishing. It's always like, yeah. Okay. Scottish Sun, the Times, or people who read it. Or perhaps people are shocked that there are people who actually believe that, yes, Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. That he is the only way of salvation. And kind of amazing that it's so blatant. Now, I haven't read this original article. I've read a number of things from the, I just want to tell you a little bit about the denomination. So, Scottish Church blasted by MSP Anas Sarwar after slamming Quran as a satanic lie. It is a satanic lie. I've read it. And for many different reasons, but the main one is it claims to be from God, which is very, very simply, is contrary to the word of God. There is no more revelation after the closing of the canon of scripture. We're not to expect that. And especially from a supposed revelation from God that contradicts the Bible, the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, in many key areas. A number of them are denying that God had a son. Let's just keep it simple. Islam is different to Christianity. If you're a Muslim listening to this, if you are actually a Muslim, you believe Christianity is false. You must do, because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. That would be seen as a satanic lie in regards, or a corruption, or however they might place it. I know they'd see Jesus as kind of a prophet, but they wouldn't see him as the Son of God, as God manifest in the flesh. That would be, keeping it simple, a satanic lie. If they're going to be honest about it. If they're going to be honest with their own texts, with the Quran and the Hadith, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, whatever else, they, to say that they are not exactly in receiving the doctrine of the Trinity or the doctrine that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is pretty basic to anybody, or should be pretty basic to anybody. And what it, any lie is of the devil. That's Christian belief. Now, the Scottish Church, who they are referring to, is the Free Church of Scotland Continuing. And the Scottish Sun called Free Church of Scotland Continuing an ultra-Presbyterian sect, called it an ultra-Presbyterian sect. And it said, quote, used its official magazine to launch an attack on the Muslim faith. I mean, what are you supposed to do but do in magazines? Perhaps you might do a critique of a false religion. Maybe it's Jehovah's Witnesses, or a false religion like Jehovah's Witnesses, which also denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or perhaps in Mormonism, which is also another false religion and another satanic lie. Which will, if someone believes the doctrines of these said groups, they're on the way to hell. Just keep it basic. Let's not get into a lot of different things. Let's not even get into whether Islam is a religion of peace or whatever. Let's just keep it really, really simple. Okay? Incontrovertible facts that pretty much anybody should understand. So in response to this, Katty Pagan, and I don't know if that's a real name or what. Maybe I stumbled upon the satire website, I'm not sure. But she wrote that the Free Church of Scotland Continuing is an ultra-Presbyterian sect. Now, what does the word sect mean? The word sect means a religious group that has separated from a larger religion and is considered to have extreme or unusual beliefs or customs. Are these beliefs that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, as revealed in, you know, places like John 14:6 and the first command, go read the book of Isaiah, or I am the Lord your God and you shall worship no other God. So, the claims of Christianity, pretty exclusive. And God the Father says of God the Son in a number of places in the Gospel, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Islam rejects that. So what is a Christian supposed to do? You want to see mainstream Christian beliefs. Historic mainstream Christian beliefs. How about the Athanasian Creed? Is that extreme? The Athanasian Creed from the early church lays out the Trinity. The Nicene Council, perhaps. Is that extreme now? I don't normally just I was, you know, kind of, I was going to do a different program, and saw this, and I was like, is there enough to, I don't like covering a lot of different topics on the one program, and I like to have thought about it quite a bit, but this is pretty much, what else can be said about this? I remember a couple of years ago, actually, I took out a video from one of the programs about commending, and big thumbs up to the Free Church of Scotland continuing, opposing the building of a mosque, and it was in the Isle of Lewis or Stornoway. I think it was in Stornoway. And it was great. I think it was from the presbytery. And they cited God's word. They're doing far more than most. And it was kind of in response. One of the reasons I was covering that, I think that was kind of in response. This was back a couple of years ago when a number of different groups were under the guise of religious liberty and like that they should be promoting that. Therefore, we should be promoting the building of mosques and all this kind of stuff as being Christians because we would want the same thing done to us if you were in Saudi Arabia or anything like that. Does that make sense? But the God of Scripture is okay with false worship, with the promotion of a false religion, something that blasphemes His Son, that denies His Son. Does that make sense? I hope. This is not, it's a disgusting idea, and it gross ignorance on the behalf of Anas Sawar, who is this Scottish MP. And I've never heard him before. But parts of I know Scotland have their own parliament as well, but a lot of Westminster now and a lot of British politics is becoming more and more radicalized, especially on the left. And I imagine that he's on the left. Anyway, whatever the case. So in this article in the Scottish Sun, it says the Scottish Church has been blasted by MSP Anas Sawar after branding the Quran a satanic cult. The Free Church of Scotland continuing, an ultra-Presbyterian sect, used its, I printed this off and I printed the same thing twice. Okay. This is a more fuller version. An ultra-Presbyterian sect which used its official magazine to launch an attack on the Muslim faith, describing it as a false religion, a quote-unquote a false religion. By definition, if you're a Muslim, you believe Christianity is a false religion. Of course you do. It's in the Quran, the people of the book. Because Christianity rejects Muhammad. That it must be a false religion, according to Islam. If you believe in your religion, you believe other religions are false. You must do. By definition. Now, the article in references, Free Church of Scotland continue to have a magazine called Free Church Witness. Very good magazine. I don't always read it. My wife's a lot better at reading through the magazines than I am. But what I've seen, it seems really, really like a really good magazine and got some very good articles in it. I think it's a reference to Islamization in the UK article on page 14 of the February edition. By the way, if there's anybody in the Free Church of Scotland continuing who's listening and would like, I especially mean people in leadership, and kind of sent in an official capacity. I just wouldn't like to, you know, you'd want a more official line. If anybody from the Free Church of Scotland continuing, especially on the Isle of Lewis, especially where this is, or anybody from the Free Church of Scotland continuing, is listening to this and would like to come on the program, a minister, a ruling elder, something like that, and would like to talk about the situation, what's going on in Scotland, and things to pray for, okay? This would not be kind of like looking for whatever is kind of going on. It would be just good, I think, for a lot of people, especially internationally. I live in Northern Ireland, but I think a lot of people who live maybe in the United States would like to know the kind of pressures the various different groups are facing. And look, if I can help and in that sense, open invitation for anybody who wants to come on the program, just email me, MiguelFilms@gmail.com, and I'd be more than happy to just talk about the situation. It wouldn't be Miguel TV or anything like that. I know some people are not big on looking at Skype and stuff like that. So if you'd like to talk about the situation, and look, there's a lot of pressures. I've never been to Scotland, actually. I've never actually been to Scotland. And which is kind of, that shocks people when I tell them up here, because Scotland's not that far away from Northern Ireland. I mean, it's good sometimes to share what's going on in different places so that people can pray for you. And so I'll leave that invitation over to you, brethren in that denomination. It's a very good denomination, by the way. It's very, very, a lot of senses, it's very similar to our own denomination, the Reformed Presbyterian Church. We have different historical differences going back. I talked about this before, but the Free Church of Scotland continuing, they had a kind of a breakaway, well, I suppose they would say the other group broke away, but from the Free Church back in, I think it was about 2000, I think it talks about in this article. And very solid, anybody that I'm aware of in their denomination, very good preachers that I've heard, and they've got some congregations in the United States for anybody listening, and Robin McCurley actually is one minister who's in Greenville Presbyterian Church, I think is the name of it. Very good preacher. So this is a very, very sound denomination. Nothing unusual from what I can see in this. And they're another group there, Exclusive Psalmody, an early church belief as well, by the way. Exclusive Psalmody, that no instruments in worship. So I would really encourage any support. Very, very good group of individuals, and may the Lord bless the labors there in Scotland. But returning to the Scottish Sun article, it's kind of pity we have to go back here, but the church, which is said, has publicly opposes gay marriage and hails corporate punishment as a gift from God, published the Islamic slurs in their Free Church Witness publication. That was another thing, recent change that I never got a chance to cover in the program, the banning of smacking, but I haven't really covered it from Scotland. That happened in the Republic of Ireland, where I'm from originally. And it's just another sad development in the UK and the Republic of Ireland, where the law of God is more and more being criminalized. Yeah, you want to let your children do whatever they want. Well, you know what? You're going to get the fruits of that in society. You do not correct your children, they will act wild. And they will be untamed. And they will not be disciplined. They will be rebellious, not just at home, but also in society. We're trying to train adults, or people who will grow into be adults in the future. Now, in a Christian point of view, it is to bow the knee to Christ, to follow Christ. But there are also people who are not Christians who would discipline their children, actually discipline their children, because they know that if they don't, they're going to have anarchy. And I've heard from people who are so against this, smacking and stuff like that, that I've heard these people, they're so ideologue about this whole situation, they never would do this. One person told me years ago that they felt like they were going to scream and, you know, just absolutely lose it. Yeah, because it just doesn't work. And people see that it doesn't work. Now, I sympathize with some people who might have been abused in the previous generation. It's sad when it hasn't been done in a loving, careful way. But it doesn't mean it's a place for anarchy. And unfortunately, the pendulum swung the other direction. Now it's been criminalized in various places. The Scottish Sun says the article, quote, Islamization of the UK, the creeping influence of a false religion, says the Quran, the central text of Islam, is not glorious, for it is a lie from Satan sent into the world to deceive. Okay. I just wonder how this is even news. Shocking. Hold the front page. Christian church holds to Christian theology and rejects non-Christian theology. That's kind of just kind of what's going on here. I'm sure it probably will annoy people that the word false religion, but if you have a, now obviously the Church of False Religion is saying basically that somebody's going to believe a lie and they're on the broad road to destruction. Someone who trusts in Muhammad is on the way to hell. Muhammad never paid for the sins of mankind. Must place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It added, the Scottish Sun said, we need to pray that the Lord would halt the Islamization of the UK. Quotes also from the article, across our society, but unnoticed by many people, are changes which may seem insignificant in them, in themselves, yet when taken together are truly alarming. Still quoting from the article, this is true in the religious realm, where we are witnessing subtle shifts towards Islam. Scottish Sun, or anybody in the media in the UK, virtually anybody in the media in the UK, it seems these days, a Christian church is going to hold, if it is indeed Christian, the Christian beliefs that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. A Presbyterian church, that's what the Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland is, and what the Church of Scotland was, however long ago, it still claims to hold the Westminster Standards, from what I know. Claims to hold the Westminster Confession of Faith, which also states that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Trinity, things that are rejected by the Quran. I would just hope that this is, none of this is controversial to anybody. This is not, well, I don't know if that's true. Christianity is based upon the Word of God, the Scriptures, and the Word manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, whom we are to follow. Rejection of that leaves, rejection of the truth leaves what? A lie. A false religion. Another religion. Now, in response to this, shock that a Christian church is against something contrary to the faith of Christianity, Scottish MSP Anas Sarwar whose dad was in the UK, was first Muslim MP, accused the church of peddling hate through their magazine. And you could say, so? Whenever I hate to hear to say, oh, you're peddling hate speech, it depends what you mean. And whether it's wrong or evil. You'd say, well, what if you wrote an article saying pedophilia is wrong? I'm sure that Anna Sawar would say, you know what, we're both against pedophilia. It's evil and wrong. Well, that group might say, well, you're just peddling hate. See, it's my point is it's meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. And again, just to be 1,000% clear, I'm not comparing him to that. But I'm just saying, we all denounce something. What do you mean by peddling hate? If a Christian claims to hold a Christian belief, then they hate every false way because they love the truth. If something attacks a child, you love children, you hate the one who, or you hate the thing at least. You want to say, well, I don't hate anybody. But at least let's agree that anything that harms children, you hate. If you love Jews, you hate the Holocaust, etc. and so on. You know what I mean. You don't go through life not hating anything. It's not possible. You know what I mean? In order to love something, you hate that which is the opposite of it. In Christianity, we're told, you know, to love righteousness and hate wickedness. Peddling hate. Now, is it, there's a type of hate that it'll be wrong for a Christian to engage in. We're told to love our enemies. Not a doctrine in the Quran, by the way. It's supposed to force them to the narrowest part of the road. We've dealt with that in other days. There is no doctrine of love your enemy in the Quran. At least not in later revelations. Surah 9, for example. But in Christianity, we're to love our enemies. And out of that love, because we love people, and we should love people who are not Christians. Not that we accept them, quote unquote, for who they are. That's different. That's another type of love. We're talking about love that you want what's, you could say there's two types of love we're to show toward the unbeliever. Beneficence and benevolence. We wish them well. And you aim to bless them. But you don't kind of give a thumbs up to their wickedness. You don't delight in their rebellion against God. In that way, you don't love them. That's a different, it's like, you know, you want to call it hatred, fine. But the way we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, so to say, well, peddling hatred, what does he say here? Speaking to the Times, he said, "This is a deeply hurtful and irresponsible article, which demonstrates the scale of the challenge of tackling Islamophobia in Scotland." So now, Christianity is, this is mainstream, historic, mainline Christianity. You may find some apostates who will say, well, this is ridiculous and all. This is mainline Christianity. It doesn't matter who it is, whether you think that the Quran is peaceful or not, whatever it, they will admit all people know, who are Christians, that we believe in the Trinity. That is part of Christian doctrine. since at least the Athanasian Creed. Like, it's always been there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. One essence. The Islamic faith denies this. Now, when you meet a Muslim, how can you show love toward them? Do you say, well, you know what? They believe something different. We'll just meet in the middle. I'll just be a good neighbor to them and say nothing. Even though they believe a lie, what's the most loving thing to do? Share the gospel with them. Call them to repent, just like anybody else. Calling them to faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You still be, you know, they might say, well, no, I reject that. And you're going to go, okay, we can still be amicable towards each other. I mean, if anybody wanted to attack a Muslim or start being derogatory towards them, okay, that's something else. But if you meet a Muslim, or anybody else for that matter, and don't share the gospel when you have an opportunity, that's not loving. Christians have a hatred for the thing that will drag you to hell. Sin. And you know what? When Peter was preaching to the Jews in Acts chapter 2, it was also hurtful for them. It pierced their hearts. Those people who were gathered at Pentecost. That's called conviction. And there's also the hate that this man has is against Jesus. Sure, he might say he's a prophet, but the quote-unquote Jesus of Islam is not the same as the scriptures. And what does Anas Sawar say? It also says, there's no place in society for such hatred and prejudice. Anas Sawar says, Scottish MP, there's no place for Christianity. That's if you want to boil it down. And this is becoming more and more, whether it's through YouTube and all the things about censorship and Facebook and what is defined as hate speech. Oh, we're not against Christianity. We're just against these hateful groups who don't represent. People always say this. Oh, no, we're not against Christianity. We're just, you know, they're a form of Christian, not as revealed in the scriptures. So he says, there's no place in society. This is Anas Sawar. I urge the Free Church of Scotland continuing to engage with the Muslim community and focus not on what divides us, but on what we have in common. Yeah, but the Free Church of Scotland continue, especially the ministers who have been ordained of God, called by God and ordained and placed and set apart for that role to preach the gospel. That is what a minister is supposed to do. Preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and call people to repentance lovingly out of love and compassion for those who are slaves to their sin and trusting in their own righteousness. Well, sin as well. How can you, from this one article, whether they're not engaging, no, it's possible, but they want, I'm pretty sure, to reach Muslims for Christ, that they will turn from their false religion, just like I was raised a Roman Catholic. Roman Catholicism is also a satanic lie because it teaches a false gospel. It has been cut off from the church because since at least the 16th century, it has denied the gospel. The Pope of Rome is that man of sin and son of perdition. The Antichrist. And this doctrine is in the Westminster Confession of Faith. Do I hate my Roman Catholic neighbors? No. If I hated them, I wouldn't talk to them at all. And no. I want them to come to know Christ and trust in Him and in Him alone and believe that grace is sufficient to save and not just necessary and not the works, lest any man should boast. The article goes on to write, this is just such a disgusting article. The anti-Islam sect split from the Free Church of Scotland, a large Presbyterian group in 2000 and operates from the Western Isle base, as well as across Scotland, Northern Ireland, Canada, and southern U.S. states. they've won congregation in Northern Ireland. I don't know what the exact state. 2 seconds, I'm going to get a drink of coffee. What the exact state of the Free Church of Scotland? I'm sure there's plenty of them who reject Islam as a false religion. Look, if you're a Christian and you have any clue what the Quran teaches, then you know. That's a false religion. If you say it's not a false religion, that's just another way to God, then you're not a minister of the gospel. You're a hireling. You're a false prophet. You're unconverted. You are on the broad way to destruction. You don't believe in the narrow door, the narrow gate. You don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. You just believe He's our way and our truth rather than the truth and the way and the life as revealed in John 14:6. It says in the article, Reverend John McLeod, principal clerk of the Free Church of Scotland, continuing, declined to make any comment. Look, and I get that. A lot of times media are going to get a quote and twist it, and there's been one or two times I've been contacted, not many times, I'm not saying it's been many times, but there's been once or twice, maybe two times over the last couple of years, I can't remember how many, but where people from different media have contacted me looking for interviews and stuff, and I'm not interested. I have no interest at all. If it's a live thing, unedited, sure. But for documentaries and stuff like that, where I'm going to be probably spliced and edited and re-edited, and this has happened to a lot of people. So I understand why they're declining to make any comment. And sometimes, look, churches just kind of go, controversy. Don't want to get involved in that. Fair enough. Completely understand. Look, the article's probably clear enough and exactly where they stand. If they find the article bad, they're just going to find anything to say from this point on bad. So, completely understand. But if John McLeod or anybody else, for that matter, would like to come on the program, contact me at megalofilms@gmail.com. I'd be happy to have you on. And the interview doesn't have to last a whole hour. It can be whatever length you'd like. And whatever format you like. Because I think it'd be good to get, it seems that there's more and more pressure on the church in Scotland. I'm sure. I just don't think that we know, and it's not that we need to be complaining or we don't like to be constantly on about it. I get it. But it'd be good for people to know what exactly is going on in different countries, especially in different denominations. Look, and I know there's already communication between different denominations and there's already this going on. But look, if people would like to reach out, that'd be great. If not, no problem. It says in the Scottish Sun, a spokeswoman for the Church of Scotland. I need a second after reading that. A spokeswoman for the Church of Scotland. I'm sure this is somebody who's not claiming to be a preacher of the gospel, but if anybody has a problem with that, just read 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 11, 12, and 13. A woman is not to preach. I don't know. Maybe but they do accept female elders in the denomination because the denomination generally at large has rejected the Bible as the authority. Oh yeah, you want a statement that's going to completely agree with the Scottish Sun? I don't know exactly the political leanings or conservative or not or whatever of the Scottish Sun. So a spokeswoman for the Scottish, for the Church of Scotland, completely separate from the breakaway group at the center of the row, said, yeah, completely separate from anything. All the Orthodox leaders have left that sinking ship. And look, it's tragic what happened. They pretty much, I've dealt with on the program before, but they pretty much embraced wholesale initially female ministers a couple of decades ago, and it's not to say that everybody who remained in the nomination was in agreement with that. But it kind of went through, and then most recently a book was written on this by David J. Randall called A Sad Departure. If you want to know, I recommend this book a couple of times. One of the reasons is because a lot of people don't really know. I think it'd be great for more people to know about Scotland, but one of the reasons is because Scotland and its rich history, its rich Christian history, Presbyterian history that goes back centuries. John MacArthur himself, actually, John MacArthur of Grace to You, said this about David J. Randall's book. David Randall has written a lucid manifesto explaining why he and others are leaving the Church of Scotland now. While they may seem a narrow issue of no concern to believers in the rest of the world, it is certainly not. The arguments he proffers for departure from the historic church stand equally true and compelling for any believer or pastor in any denomination or association whose official doctrine declares a departure from the Word of God, written and incarnate. And also, Sinclair Ferguson, who's a former minister, he left the denomination back in 2005. He was called to a charge in the United States. He said about this book, about the state of the church, a lot, like there was a few conservative ministers within the denomination, and they left. They went to different places, but they left. So it's not, I'm not saying that everybody's apostate who's left, but I don't know. There might be a few left. It's hard to know. Ferguson wrote, thus behind the sad departure of ministers and congregations from the Church of Scotland lies the prior and much sadder departure of the Kirk from its sacred constitution. So he writes a foreword on that. Sad Departure, published by Banner of Truth. I suppose it might be, for people listening in the United States, a bit like the PCUSA in some ways, but not exactly the same. What does this spokeswoman from the Church of Scotland say? The Church of Scotland values the relationship we have with our Muslim neighbors. And look, there's a relationship we can have with our Muslim neighbors. Absolutely. I go to businesses that don't, you know, where people aren't necessarily Christian, whatever. That's fine, okay? The statement says, and we share a commitment to building community in a multicultural Scotland. Many congregations took part in the fourth annual Visit My Mosque Day in March. So, not only the Church of Scotland doesn't stand for anything anymore. And if you want a statement on, see, here's the real Christians. Here are the real Christians who are going to put you all to shame. And, just to mention the Times article written by Mark Horn, it's behind a kind of a paywall, but I was able to print off some of it. So the Times wrote about this as well. Didn't seem to go viral or anything else like that, but it's it's concerning that that this kind of language is used about congregations that have gone back centuries. Their doctrine hasn't changed a whole ton, hasn't changed a whole lot. Definitely not in the Trinity, anyway, that's for sure. But now it's been called a sect. And it's disgusting. When I was raised and you'd be doing religious studies and all this kind of stuff, you kind of go, oh, cult, and then there's a sect, and there's an actual religion. It's a slur. It's a slur to call the Free Church of Scotland continuing a sect. A sect. Hey, if you want to call anybody a sect, maybe the Church of Scotland, but I would just call them apostate. Anyway, so that's sad to see that taking place. And it's important that we have a clear line in the sand between the truth and where we stand and apostasy. And what's happened now, because the church has taken more and more soft stands and is more and more reluctant to take the stand, it should be done lovingly, by the way, but to take the stand that the Free Church of Scotland is taking, that we don't know where to draw the line anymore. It reminds me a little bit of Peter Kreeft's book. Peter Kreeft, as I pronounce it, popular quote unquote Christian philosopher, author, and speaker. He converted to Roman Catholicism anyway. At least of the writing of this book, Ecumenical Jihad, written back in the 1990s. He wrote a chapter on, which chapter in this book? Chapter 6 of the book, What Christians Can Learn from Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, and Moses. Okay. Anybody go, well, what has this got to do with anything? You know, very ecumenical, the book. This is how it introduces the chapter, and it'll become apparent what I mean in a second. There has been a last-minute change. The chapter I had originally planned, this is Peter Kreeft, to write has been lost. No. Not lost, thrown away. I dumped it in the wastebasket. Why? Because I was planning it, something that I would probably not believe happened to me. But I have to tell you about it anyway. I commanded to tell you, woe is me if I do not preach this gospel. No, somebody says this gospel. You've all heard about OBEs, out-of-body experiences, in which a person's soul leaves his body and experiences, and sometimes seems to experience some foretaste of heaven. Well, it happened to me. It usually happens when something mystical triggers it. Most usually imminent death or the experience of death or something so ecstatic that you lose self-consciousness. Now, this is obviously sad. It's false. I don't know where he's getting this information from. It could just be deception, even, you know, intentional, known on his part, or he may have been deceived. It may be just psychological, it may be demonic, I don't know. I don't know what the source of this is, but in the midst of this chapter, and why I'm kind of quoting this, is where do we stand in the church of today when it comes to false religion and falsehood? And how we are not to just kind of go, well, you're okay, I'm okay, but we preach this. No. Years ago, we did a movie called Of Chaos and Confusion, the Modern Church. It came out in 2012. Some of its conclusions were a bit fundamentalist in places, and the movie did talk about separation in places. The separation, I believe, is from unbelief. And you know what? I want that unity talked about in John 17. When Jesus is praying to the Father. Okay? And we should aim for as much unity among the true bride of Christ as possible. However, there is to be separation, and it's from those who reject the gospel. Now, we want as much ecclesiastical church unity as possible. We want those independent churches, not by compulsion or anything like that, but to be part of one church. We should aim for this. This is what I believe the scriptures teach, okay? So I want, by God's grace, look, Psalm 133, we should all want unity. The way an independent and a Presbyterian like myself might look at it slightly differently, but we should aim for, we should want that we would all repent and change and be conformed into the image of Christ, so much so that we will, you know, kind of believe the same thing, and there'll be unity and ecclesiastical unity and everything else, okay? However, in unifying in truth, we must separate from falsehood. Not every single thing. But false gospels, yes. False religion, yes. Unbelief, yes. Now, I want to guard against hyper-separation. And there's some groups that just won't work with anybody. I don't like that at all. And it gives biblical separation a bad name. Our first desire should be as much unity as possible. But make, look, and then have a hard line. This is truth. Not somebody... I was going to be talking about Andy Stanley. Give me Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley, who says, you know, the Bible is not the foundation of our belief. And there's many ridiculous things that Andy Stanley has said. And I'm probably not going to get a chance to go near Andy Stanley's appearance on Unbelievable. I think Jeff Durbin did a really good job. Made a bit of a... Maybe a tad bit too nice in him, whatever the case. But he did a great job. I don't think I could have... I know for a fact that I would have done far worse than he did in the interview. It's not an easy situation, given a presentation. We have a moment there, back and forth. Although the moderator of the debate was really, really good and really, really fair to both sides. I've been critical of Unbelievable before and Premier Christian Radio, but it allowed at least both sides to be expressed, and that was really, really good. So there's that. Just not a big fan of a lot of people that they have on and promote, like N.T. Wright, for example, but I digress. But Andy Stanley is somebody who says, well, it doesn't matter if you believe in the virgin birth. It doesn't matter if you believe the Bible or not. You know, you must believe the event of the resurrection. I'm just giving this an example because this is something people are talking a lot about recently. You know, if you reject something about the Old Testament, that's fine. Doesn't matter. Old Testament is not necessary. And so on and so forth. Kind of a Marcionite almost. Does he have a credible profession of faith? Because he's teaching this stuff. No. And that's somebody to separate from. And there was the hardline fundamentalists about 100 years ago, and I don't think it was a really good move in a lot of ways, the history of fundamentalism. And there was a hardline separation, and they kind of unified not around confessions of creeds, which were well-developed and well-thought-out and all this kind of stuff. They unified among, you know, more of a common enemy. Okay, they had five fundamentals they unified around. One was the virgin birth and things like that. It was a separation from liberalism and stuff like that. In reaction to that, and that hardline kind of artificial fundamentalism, those 5 points of fundamentalism, this is around like the 1910s, 1920s, but then a little bit later in the 1940s came kind of neo-evangelicalism, which was a reaction to that first generation of fundamentalism. And in that reaction, there was a kind of a rejection of self that should have been rejected, by the way. You know, every generation since that, you know, like one generation, another generation, it swung between legalism to antinomianism. Both extremes aren't great. And the antinomian swing back was in Fuller Theological Seminary, which kind of went, you know what, let's all sit down together, see what we can learn, see those liberals there, we can sit down and flesh things out, and you end up just being compromised. You need to not, and there's a danger with putting on a pedestal just because somebody has amazing academic credentials and all this kind of stuff. You need to be careful about that. Do they love God's word? And I think this kind of spirit has kind of permeated the last couple of decades, really. And we shouldn't be afraid of healthy biblical separation. It shouldn't be the first course of event, by the way. It should be last resort. But if somebody like Andy Stanley, you know, rejects, says, well, we don't have to believe the virgin birth, we don't have to believe this, we don't have to believe that, then they need to be separated from. But we're not talking about the person has got a few degrees of difference. Maybe, you know, I can have fellowship with believers. Look, Anglican believers, at least as long as they believe the scriptures. You know, maybe Free Church of Scotland, I don't know, Free Church of England continuing, or Free Church of Scotland, or, you know, they're very similar to us, and Westminster, especially anybody with the Westminster standards, or independents, like Baptists, can have fellowship to varying different degrees, can do evangelism to varying different degrees, but we're talking about unbelief, and this kind of needs to be stressed again. Not schismatic, just basically faithful to scripture, because, anyway. So, getting back to Peter Crieff's book. Anyway, so in Peter Crieff's book, he claims to have had this kind of a trip to heaven or outer body experience. This does tie into what I'm talking about. In the book, on page 98, he says he's up in heaven. So, I'm shocked by this, since the man was evidently Muhammad. I was wondering how a man who is not even a Christian could teach me the heart and soul of all true religion. But I could not argue with the Lord, so I asked, what is the heart and soul of all true religion? The answer came from Muhammad in a single word, Islam. He said, Islam, surrender, and the peace that comes from surrender, and the peace the world cannot give, that comes only from surrender to the will of God. This is the heart and soul of all true religion. How could you have forgiven? And he goes on and on, basically saying, well, and then skipping on a little bit, he said, I was dumbfounded and knew not what to say to this man, whom I had learned to fear as a violent and dangerous bigot. I blurted out what was in my heart. And you indeed, Muhammad, are you truly a prophet? Are the words from God? And is your God the same as our God? He said, yes, yes, 1,000 times. Yes, to all 4 questions, he said. So, he talks about surrender, you know, kind of all the same. Then another paragraph, this is the bottom page 99 of the book. This was too scandalous, simple for me. I turned the conversation to another. Are you a Christian now or a Muslim? He gave me what a seemingly evasive answer. Why do you say it or? How can one be a Christian without Islam to the one God? And this is just duplicitous lies from the pit of hell, by the way. In case anybody's confused when I'm reading this. But this is Peter Crieff, very ecumenical. Continuing, but I thought his answer evasive. I challenged him more. If you came to heaven and not from hell, what do you say to this? And I whipped out my rosary and held aloft the crucifix, as I would to Dracula. To my wondering eyes, Muhammad fell to his knees and crossed himself. My response was only possible. I bowed the knees of my mind to the words of the man who had bowed his knees to my Lord and his mother, though his words were not the ones I had expected. And it's kind of like this. You know what? We're all kind of teaching the same thing, and anywhere we're kind of a little bit different. You know, we'll all figure it out maybe in, you know, in heaven, and, you know, all different faiths and beliefs will be up there, including Islam, according to Peter Crafton, this out-of-body experience. Now, he's kind of, okay, not a great guy, not good to teach that. Why are you mentioning this? I mention this because J.I. Packer, if you've got any reform book in your on your shelf, most of them have a foreword or something by J.I. Packer. J.I. Packer's well thought of. And if you just read his writings and nothing, well, depends what writings, you'll think, okay, he's very, very good. He's very articulate. He's very clear. Okay. In response to what I just read, that vile denial of the gospel, you know, the Muslims, Buddhists and all this, well, I didn't read the Buddhist part, but especially about Muhammad would be in heaven and all this kind of stuff. This is what J.I. Packer said about this book, Ecumenical Jihad. This racy little book opens up a far-reaching theme. With entertaining insight, Kreeft looks into the attitudes, alliances, and strategies that today's state of affairs requires of believers. Catholics, Protestants, and Orthodox alike need to ponder Peter Kreeft's vision of things, preferably in discussion together. And what does he say? What if he is right? So to what I just said, Packer says, what if he is right? It's not the first time J.I. Packer has been duplicitous in regards to the gospel. Utter treachery. But a man, we're not just talking about church members. And this is, when was this written? 1996, I think it was. Ecumenical Jihad, Ecumenism, and the Cultural War. I think it was 1996, I think this book came out. Yeah, 1996, Ignatius Press, San Francisco. And in, this is 2 years, is it 1 or 2 years after ECT, Evangelicals and Catholics Together, where he said, we've come to, signed a document which said that Roman Catholics and Protestants were in agreement on the gospel. And I see people making excuses for him. Why? I'm not saying we should get into arguments about this. Look. I'm not saying that I won't read J.I. Packer or anything like that. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But the guy is not a good example. The guy is not somebody I want to be recommending. If you've got that kind of poison, oh, that's very separate, you know, fundamentalist kind of, oh, you know. I don't mind reading from somebody, but when you're reading somebody to get Reformed theology and good sound doctrine and stuff like that, do you want somebody who is treasonous to the gospel? What baffles me is, I remember there was a, look, I'll give an example. I love John MacArthur and think he's a fantastic preacher, but think he wrote a book about inerrancy a couple of years later with J.I. Packer. It was in one of the articles and stuff like that. And look, this is not a thing to let's attack John MacArthur. John MacArthur is a wonderful servant of God. I'm not. And anybody else. I mean, Joel Beakey, who I absolutely love. And he includes a lot of J.I. Packer quotes and stuff like that. What am I getting at here? I think we're so afraid of kind of a harsh, unbiblical, schismatic separation that we're not willing to draw the line anywhere. And anybody who's willing to claim any part of Christianity, we're just embracing. I'm not making any claims, by the way, on whether he's saved or not. This is not my point. But when do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line? Because if you're telling people, as long as you're some great scholar, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you say about Islam or Roman Catholicism. And this has been the last couple of decades. And I think places like Fuller, and then when Fuller just went down into becoming a completely liberal institution, had a battle over inerrancy very, very quickly. I think was it Daniel Fuller, I think it was leader of the seminary for a while. And then Trinity Divinity Evangelical School kind of basically took on its mantle. I'm not saying everybody's terrible over there, not at all. But what's so sad is how many people are willing to call out. Now, it needs to be done in a loving way. I don't like the you see, people, there's reactionaries then who want to kind of get grenades and lob it at anybody. And I'm talking about, it needs to be done with tact. It needs to be done with love. I'm not saying that the Free Church didn't do that. From what I can see, they seem to have done that. I mean, but there's times when you need to call out false religion. And it's becoming far more fuzzy today on what is and what isn't truth. Is that helpful for anybody? And sometimes it might not be easy to know where to draw the line. But I hope we're not enamored with academia. I hope we're not enamored with all these things that we're normally enamored with. I'm talking about in the Reformed community. But we need to, you know who's the example we need to follow? Ultimately Christ, of course. Those who are in love with Scripture, who model it with their lives, and have integrity. This has been Paul Flynn. May God bless you all.